everybody, and welcome back to I Just Want to Talk About the Bible. If this is your first time joining us, and let me just say that I am so genuinely glad that you are here with us today. My name is Christian Keeter, and I live in the southeast of the United States of America with my amazing, beautiful, godly wife, Lacey, and our two wonderful daughters, Felicity and Serenity. In Matthew 6:34, Jesus said these wonderful words. He said, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Anxiety, that faithful companion that seeks to accompany us through life, that sticks so close and seeks to walk by our side each and every day, offering its unsolicited counsel for every circumstance through which we pass, always listing out all the ways that things could go wrong or probably will go wrong, and listing reason after reason why we have to fear. Anxiety, who loves to deal in the realm of what if, in the realm of hypothetical, and then lead you down a path far away from reality into this just spider web of fears based on things that have not happened and many of which never will. Anxiety. Now, the thing about anxiety is this. As a counselor, anxiety doesn't wait for its opinion to be asked. Anxiety takes it upon itself to walk right up to you and to start listing out its, you know, reasonings and the things that it sees and the reasons why you should be concerned and fearful. And in my experience, anxiety's voice is quite loud. Anxiety is good at projecting, and anxiety is good at persistence. Can you relate to this? Can you relate? And for the sake of our conversation today, let's broaden it a little bit so we don't keep it too narrow in our minds. When I say anxiety, this is also encompassing thoughts and words like stress and worry. So for the sake of our conversation today, these words are going to be interchangeable: anxiety, stress, and worry. Things that we consider to be just a normal part of life and therefore tolerate, but according to the Bible, should be rejected and resisted. For example, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And what Jesus just said here, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. So, anxiety. As I was spending time with the Lord this morning, I feel like He really encouraged my heart and spoke to me about this topic. And what I'm sharing with you now really just comes right out of my time with Him this morning. And so this is first and foremost for me. However, I know that although it's first and foremost for me, it's not only for me, because I know that I'm not the only person who wrestles with this. I think about where it says, morning by morning, He awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. In Isaiah 50, verse 4, it's like, so the Lord, I feel like, shared something with me, showed something that I am excited and encouraged by, and I hope that through the time that we spend over these next few moments together, that through this episode, He also speaks to your heart and encourages you through this in the same way that He has me, and I believe that He will. Like I said, I believe that He didn't share this just with me for me. He shared this with me also for you. Amen? So all that to say, if you can relate to this, then let's lean in and please listen to what I'm about to say. And I'm going to do my best to listen to what I'm about to say, because if you're like me, then God will show you something and then you might forget about it. It might be exciting for an hour, a day, a week, but then you can kind of forget about it and slide back into, you know, where you were. In fact, last night we were at a Bible study led by Lacey's mom, and one of the points that she made was the importance of repetition, choosing to believe over and over again what the Bible says is true, despite what we are, you know, thinking or feeling, and how as we do that over time, it becomes easier and easier as we choose again and again to believe the truth. So, having said all that, let us talk a little bit about anxiety, just as a concept, what it is, why it's so dangerous, and why, when it strikes, it feels so debilitating sometimes. So, anxiety, well, let me first off draw a distinction. There is a difference between responsibility and anxiety. However, in our minds, they are oftentimes combined. Let me word it this way. There is a difference between planning and worrying. Right? There's a difference between planning for the future and worrying about the future. However, the two are oftentimes molded into one, and biblically that does not need to be. No, planning and worry do not have to overlap. The Bible would, of course, you know, commend forward thinking and planning. I mean, think about Proverbs 6, beginning of verse 6, where it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." So here we have the example of an ant given for, you know, the wisdom of an ant who prepares ahead of time. Like it says there, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. So we see this forward thinking, we see this planning contrasted to a sluggard, a person who is lazy and refuses to plan. And then it talks about what the outcome of that forward thinking and laziness will be. However, the Bible also says, as I've already mentioned, you know, do not be anxious about anything. Jesus said here in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And so anxiety may try to masquerade as responsibility, since it is considering the future. Planning and anxiety can both be considering the future, but they're completely different. They're completely different, and the issue is this. In the world, anxiety, worry, and stress can actually be celebrated because they might work themselves out into certain commendable behaviors while they just destroy you internally. They wreck your, you know, your mind and even your body. That's what anxiety will do. Right? So there's a difference between responsibility and anxiety. And I wanted to say that at the outset, even though anxiety will try to masquerade as it. It's like, well, of course I need to worry about these things because X, Y, and Z. Of course I need to worry. Of course I need to worry. Of course I need to worry. According to the Bible, not so. According to the Bible, yes, we should plan, but the opposite of worry is going to be what? Trust. "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." Psalm 56:3. "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Isaiah 26:3. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anxiety, worry, stress, these things did not make the list. So let's talk about why anxiety happens here. Let's talk about why anxiety happens. And what anxiety can actually do, the ways that anxiety can benefit us. And let me go ahead and give you a spoiler. It doesn't. It doesn't benefit us. And we'll look more in depth at that in a minute. But listen, anxiety, stress, worry, it flourishes in the realm of the hypothetical. Like what Jesus said here, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow is not here yet. Therefore, tomorrow and what is going to happen tomorrow is therefore still hypothetical. It is not yet actual. However, we are always looking at our circumstances and trying to come to conclusions about what is going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And we start borrowing trouble. We start looking at this and we start taking things upon ourselves as though they were real. We start processing through things to say, oh my gosh, if blank happens then. And all of a sudden we're bringing into our experience something that's not actually real. And you know as well as I do that the overwhelming majority of things that we are actually anxious about don't even come to be. And we oftentimes don't spend time realizing that and thinking through the implications of that because we're already moved on to the next thing because we've trained ourselves to worry and be anxious and to not trust the Lord and think that we have to take care of ourselves and no one is looking out for us, but God is. All the hairs of our head are numbered. He leads us beside green, makes us lie down in green pastures, leads us beside still waters. So anxiety flourishes in the realm of the hypothetical. In another way, think of it like this. It asks, what if? Anxiety is always speaking with an implicit what if. What if blank? What if blank? What if blank happens? What if I lose my job? What if this, that, or the other happens? And then you start working through it as though your what if actually is what is. But it isn't. So to state it another way, it asks what if instead of stating what is. It loves hypothetical. And since it deals in the hypothetical, how do you address a hypothetical problem? How do you get out of that? It's not even a real problem to be solved. It's imaginary at present. It is, you know, a possibility, but not an actuality, if that makes sense. So here's the danger with this. This means that we are responding to things that don't even exist. does this make sense? Let me, here, I'll give you an example. I remember a few months ago, or I don't know how long ago it actually was. It wasn't this past week. It was sometime in the not too distant past. I was driving and probably just like, I'm feeling anxious, working through some things. And I feel like what the Lord showed me, it was as though he said, Christian, these battles are imaginary. They're imaginary. They don't even exist. And I was worrying about things that didn't actually even exist. Now, you might be thinking about the things that cause stress or anxiety in your life, and you could possibly be like, well, Christian, I can actually tie to real life circumstances right now the source of my anxiety. Like, okay, yes, I'm anxious because blank is happening. I'm worried because blank is happening. I'm stressed because blank is happening. But I would actually encourage you to try to get down to the root of that. Because yes, real things happen and real things bring pain into our lives, but there is deep in there probably an expectation about how things are going to continue, about how things will play out with the circumstance that is currently difficult. In other words, there is something that's actually happening, and responding to the actual happening circumstance is important, and we want to respond to that biblically. But what happens deep beneath the surface without us realizing it, we come to conclusions not of only about what's happening, but what's going to happen because of what's happening. We look at what is happening, and we're like, oh, this is going to lead to this, and this will lead to this, and if this doesn't happen, this, 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 and this, and we go all that. So if we do a little work and dig down here, whenever we start feeling that red flag of anxiety spring up in our hearts, where it's like, okay, that's a warning, something's getting off here, and we look there and we say, okay, what is the thought kind of going on here? Yes, this circumstance is happening, and I'm going to talk about actual circumstances in just a moment, but just anxiety by its nature is seeking to pull you into the hypothetical. It's seeking to pull you into the non-existent conclusions that probably may never happen. You know, things we're anxious about might happen, but at that moment they actually become reality and then are therefore addressable, not just hypothetical. This is getting weird and maybe metaphysical. I hope this is making sense. Like, as I'm hearing it's not getting weird, but it's getting hard to follow perhaps. And so I hope this is making sense, or maybe you're like, yeah, it made sense the first time you said it, and you don't have to keep repeating yourself. I'm just trying to keep us, gosh, this is just so important. So if something doesn't exist, you don't need to worry about it. If it's not a reality, then you don't need to worry about that. And again, this is not talking about, you know, not planning. The Bible speaks about planning in positive light, but I mean, that's not what we're talking about. The stuff we get anxious about. Okay, anyways, yeah. So let's just keep moving on here. So if/when a situation becomes actual, okay, if/when it moves out of the hypothetical into the actual, and like I said, the majority of the time, what we are anxious and worried about does not play out the way that we thought it would, right? It doesn't, I mean, sometimes, maybe, but a lot of times, not. And I've, you know, heard people say that the vast majority of things that we worry about never come to pass. And you could probably, you know, testify to that yourself. But if/when a situation becomes actual, listen, this is so important. Listen, the Lord will empower you to face it. He will empower you to face it. So let me give you some verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond your ability. So Philippians 4, a very famous passage, Paul says, beginning in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Listen, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. All things through him who strengthens me. The circumstance, when it comes, you'll be able to face it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, and there's, of course, more verses that we could look at than this, but I'm just trying to make the point. So 2 Corinthians 12, in the famous passage about, you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh, I'll begin reading verses 8, and I'll read verses 8 and 9. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And, you know, if you want to read the whole thing about Paul's thorn of the flesh, you could read 2 Corinthians 12, 1 through 10. But right there where Jesus says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is enough for you. It is enough for you in this. One more passage. It's a prayer that Paul is praying for the believers in the city of Ephesus. It's Ephesians 3, 14 through... it goes through verse 19, but I'm going to read through verse 21. He says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Notice how it says that God can do, you know, he's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. But then it says, according to the power at work within us, which is what? That's the power of the Holy Spirit, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Lord can empower us, will empower us to face circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean in the midst of circumstances that it's going to necessarily be easy. The Bible says, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. In Psalm 107, it says it 4 times in that psalm. So yes, this isn't, I'm not talking about the need for not clinging to God, not, you know, holding on to him and crying out to him, and all that's all good and necessary, depending on him, very important. But again, I'm drawing the distinction between what is actual and what is imaginary. In her fantastic book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom shares an experience that she has, that she had with her father. And if you have not read The Hiding Place, you need to read The Hiding Place. It is amazing. It takes place during World War II. She and her family hid Jews, and whenever, you know, the Nazis were taking over, they were in Holland. So check it out. Great, incredible book, and extremely well written. But she shares this experience of when she was a kid and how she was scared of her dad dying and how that thought was producing a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Now, was her dad ultimately going to die? Well, yes, he was, and he did. However, at that moment, his death wasn't actual. It was still in the future. It had not happened yet, right? And her dad said something so wise, and I want to share it with you guys. They would take a train, I think it was to Amsterdam, once a week, and Corrie would go with her dad. I think his name was Casper. And so Corrie and Casper would go to the train, and Casper asked his daughter, he says, Corrie, in response to her concern about his death, he says, Corrie, when we go on the train, when do I give you the ticket? And she said, well, immediately before boarding. And he said, yes, exactly. You have what you need when you need it. I don't give you the ticket before then. I give you the ticket when you need it. And he said, the point he was making is, so it is with our Heavenly Father. When times come, he will give us the ticket to board the train. He will give us the strength to endure. He will be our strength. His power is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is sufficient for us. But we're borrowing trouble. If we do, like what Corrie was being tempted to do in that situation as a child was to be anxious about tomorrow, right? To borrow trouble. Isn't that wonderful? Let's look at Psalm 23 briefly. I'm going to read through the whole thing because it's so short, written by King David, of course. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So we'll pause there. That's verses 1 through 3. So the Lord is our shepherd. He takes care of us. He meets our needs. In John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And so we see here God is taking care of his sheep. Notice verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you can say, well, Christian, that sounds a little hypothetical. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if, yes, I see what you mean. But here's the point. Does the hypothetical lead to anxiety here in this situation? No, it does not lead to anxiety because he ties it into a present tense reality. And what is that present tense reality? For you are with me. You are with me. Even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. I will never leave you nor forsake you, the Lord says. Hebrews 13, 5. That is what is, not what if. What is that you are with me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, you are with me. That is another way, I think, of saying what we've said already, which is when we are actually in the circumstance, if we enter the circumstance, he will give us what we need. You are with me. He will give us the ticket to the train. But borrowing trouble is not going to set us up for success. In fact, it will steal from us today. It's threats about tomorrow that steal from us today, and the threats oftentimes don't even come true. To state this another way, he is with me in whatever I face, but with anxiety, I'm not actually facing anything. Rather, I'm being scared of what could be and not staying in the realm of reality. Do you see that? It is suffering today about something that could happen tomorrow. It's nebulous. It's non-existent. It hasn't been brought into actuality yet. It may not ever. So here's the thing, and this is why it gets so important. You and I, we've been given the grace for today. Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We have been given the grace for today. God has given us everything we need to make it through today. And if we are getting, you know, paralyzed by fears of the future and hypotheticals and things like that, we are moving beyond the grace for today. And you start feeling the asphyxiating grasp, the bony fingers of anxiety wrap its hand around your throat and just choke you out. And that's, you know, sometimes it feels that way, right? So we've been given the grace for today. If I'm worried about tomorrow, I'm going beyond what I've been given today. Another way of saying it would be each day I receive my daily bread. I have my daily bread. Remember the man in the wilderness? My daily bread. So again, let me restate something I already said earlier, but with an example. Even anxiety in the moment that is connected to something that is actually happening goes beyond the actual circumstance and draws out the situation in our minds to some feared conclusion. So let me give you an example. If an unexpected bill comes in the mail, an unexpected bill could come in the mail and there is an actual circumstance, you say, well, yeah, Christian, I'm anxious because of this bill. Well, are you anxious of the bill or are you anxious because of the implications of the bill that could come to pass? For example, that there would not be enough. It's like this bill is leading me to fear that there will not be enough. But is that actual or is that aspect of it hypothetical? Yes, the bill is there. But the scarcity is still hypothetical. But if we remain in the actual, and this is it, if we remain in the actual, we can see and apply a promise of God from his word. If we go into the hypothetical, things become shrouded and confusing. So with the example of the bill, it's like, okay, Lord, you see this. You see this, you say to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and all these things will be added to me. You say in places like, okay, let me just flip over here to, I'm turning the page now into Philippians 4, verse 9. I'm sorry, Philippians 4, 19. It says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you see, we can start with an actual circumstance. We can think and then say, well, what does the Bible actually say about it? What does God, through his word, what does the Lord have to say about this circumstance? And then, you know, begin praying to that end and addressing that with a specific promise of God. Where if there's a hypothetical, it's like, man, what do you do with a hypothetical? You do the same thing David did. You said, well, even if that happens, God is with me and he'll take care of me when it comes. You do exactly what Corey did, which is when it's time to board that train, the Lord will give me the ticket. Right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7, wonderful passage we've referenced many times on this podcast. And I like it, excuse me, I like it because I like it when things are black and white, because left to myself, I can easily come to conclusions about how somehow I'm an exception, or like not in a good way, I'm exception in a bad way, like, oh, that doesn't apply to me because blank, 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 X, Y, and Z. So really clear black and white stuff is meaningful to me. So Paul's resounding, echoing words that I hope ring in our ears all day long are, do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. We are not allowed to be anxious. I love that, you know, and you say, Christian, well, that's easier said than done. And I get that. But what we're talking about today is what it looks like to actually do this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Thank God. My pastor says, praise is always appropriate with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's the opposite of anxiety. What is the opposite of anxiety? The opposite of anxiety is peace and joy. Peace and joy hold hands. They are best friends. They hang out together. Peace and joy. So peace and joy are the opposite of anxiety, stress, and worry. They can't coexist. One will drive out the other. So, you know, I haven't been, you know, said this yet. I know I said that the Lord, you know, spoke to me about this morning. I have just been reading from and riffing off my journal entries from this morning to me. So like, I'm not, you know, just speaking this out there as though I don't understand this. And it's like, well, Christian, you don't know. And I don't know exactly what you face, but I just want to say firsthand that I have, and like my wife Lacey could testify to this, I have had some intense bouts with anxiety, like intense. And I felt like a different person as I've stepped out of the actual into the hypothetical, as I've stepped away from what is into the realm of what if. That is a cruel place to go. Let me give you just a story from my own life from like a week ago or something like that. I was running a few errands and I was really battling some anxiety. Really battling some anxiety when I you know, ran these errands and just anxious thoughts and you know, all that. You know how it goes. And as I pulled into a parking lot, I saw a bumper sticker on a car. And I believe that the Lord spoke to me through this. And before I describe the bumper sticker to you, let me just take this opportunity to point out the reality that God can speak to us whenever and however he wants. Yes, we should absolutely be listening for the voice of the Lord consistently through things like meditating on the Word of God and talking to him in prayer. But he's not limited to those things. He can speak to us really, you know, at any point just throughout the course of our day. So my point in saying that is this: don't not expect, it's kind of confusing, double negative. Okay, expect the Lord to speak to you and be alert and ready as you just go throughout your life. I mean, goodness, we know that creation itself reflects attributes of God. When you look at what he has created, we can learn about his very character. I mean, we, you know, the scriptures, you could look at Psalm 19, verse 1, I think Romans 1:20 as well. These are places that could talk about that kind of thing. So having said that, that was a caveat. Coming back, I just wanted to say that as a caveat. So I'm pulling into this parking lot, battling anxiety, had been praying to the Lord, asking for his help, crying out for help. And I saw this bumper sticker. And what was this bumper sticker that I believe the Lord gave me spiritual like insight through? Well, it was a skeleton cloaked, holding a scythe, with this wicked expression on his face. And you're like, whoa, dude, like, where's this going? What was it depicting? Well, it was, of course, depicting the Grim Reaper, or the physical embodiment of death, right? That was the idea. So you're like, okay, cool. You saw a weird bumper sticker. Welcome to the club. They're everywhere. And you're right. But there was one detail I haven't shared with you yet that made all the difference of this thing. So there he is. There's the embodiment of death pictured on the back of this car, holding a scythe with a wicked expression on his face, with a finger extended, pointing right at me. Pointing right at me. And in that moment, I felt like the Lord opened my eyes as I'm wrestling through this debilitating, asphyxiating anxiety, and it just showed me the enemy is after you. The enemy is after you. He's got his bony finger pointed right towards you, and he is attacking you now. Now, this anxiety is not from God. And let me say that again. We are commanded not to be anxious, and we know in 2 Timothy 1:7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. My friends, we got to be free. My dear friends, this anxiety is not from the one who loved you enough to give you his son. And I did not know that that was going to rhyme, but I'm so glad that it did. But again, this anxiety is not from the one who loved you enough to give you his son. So what does this mean? We must have a zero tolerance policy for anxiety. Now, let's quickly return to Philippians 4. We read Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I'm going to reread those, but I want to read through verse 9 because there's something that stood out to me this morning that I want to share with you. Beginning again in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there we have it again. So in verse 7, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And in verse 9, it says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there we have two references, of course, to peace. In verse 8, it lists a series of things that should dominate our thoughts. But I just want to draw out the first one. What is the first one? It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true. Whatever is true. What did we say about anxiety? Anxiety, by its nature, is not actual. It is not true. It's threatening you that it will be true. Anxiety says, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. But the answer is, but it hasn't happened yet. It is not true. It is not actual. It is not in the realm of reality. It is still a what if. Truth is what is, not what if. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is true, be very careful. You know what anxiety feels like. You know what it feels like. And it's like it's a warning signal. It's like if on the dash of your car, one of those lights comes on where it's like, hey, something's off. When you start feeling anxiety, and when I say feeling it, you know what I mean. Like, I have felt my stomach knot up. It's like the inside of my stomach just begins to like collapse. You know the feeling. I know the feeling. But whenever anxiety tries to grab you by the wrist and take you where you don't want to go, to the places of this could happen and this could happen, and if this happens, this will happen, and this means this and all that, say absolutely not. Absolutely not. The answer is, hey, even if I do walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. If I face something, God will be with me. But for now, that is not where I am, and that is not what I'm facing. Therefore, I'm not going there. I am staying close to my shepherd. I am staying in the realm of reality, the realm of what is true. not is, what if, not hypotheticals. So like I said, we've been given the grace for today. You've been given what you need for today. Don't be worried. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Right? Let me wrap up here with something else Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 25 through 26. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Doesn't that make so much sense? Anxiety is so twisted. And this is why. It does not actually change the circumstances that it's leading you to worry about. It doesn't change the hypotheticals, but it changes the actual. By giving in to anxiety, which is, again, by nature hypothetical of things that could happen, it actually has the power to affect the actual. It's able to affect you here and now with something that is out there and possibly never going to happen. But if it does, if you're born again, the Lord is with you. He is your shepherd. You shall not want. If you're not born again, you don't have peace with God, you are still estranged to him, and your sins still rest on you, and haven't, you know, you haven't accepted the free gift of salvation for Jesus, from Jesus, because of what he did, that could change today. Today, you could pledge your allegiance to him. You could acknowledge his lordship. You could just say, Lord, I have sinned, and I am separate from you. And I need you to wash me clean. I need forgiveness. I believe that you are God, that you died a death on the cross that I deserve, paid for my sins, and rose from the dead, and I give you my life. You can listen back for more info on that in episode 24, entitled The Gospel. And if you listen to episode 24, I would also highly encourage you to listen to episode 21, which is entitled I Never Knew You. Those two go hand in hand. But I just want to say that as well. So my friends, let's stay in the realm of reality. Let us stay in the realm of reality and not let anxiety take us places that don't even exist. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the command not to be anxious. To do not be anxious about anything. Thank you, Lord. Please help us to stay in the realm of the actual, what is actually true, to believe your word and not get pulled into hypotheticals. Please shield us and please give us great sensitivity to know when this happens, because Lord, I know this is a big tactic in the arsenal of the enemy. But Lord, I just pray for all these dear ones. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you speak to them, Lord, because I know that my words don't account for anything. It's only what you say. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. Please take your word, Lord. And I just pray that you enlighten the eyes of the hearts of all the people who are listening. And Lord, that you continue to do it with me. Lord, you've shown me this stuff this morning. Please, God, please help me to really remember it and apply it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, dear brothers and sisters. Well, in closing, I just want to talk about the Bible is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, which means that any and all gifts given are tax deductible. So if you feel so led to give, instructions on how to do so can be found in the footer of every podcast episode description. And to those of you who have given, thank you so much for your generosity. May the Lord bless you for it. All right, guys, until next time, God bless you.